Hi, I'm Dominique for the blog Music Art Culture. Visit our webpage, musicartculture.org, for more information to get involved with the Music Art Culture Education Foundation as we partner with educators in the local LA and Inglewood communities. And follow us on social media, on IG, Instagram at Music Art Culture, and Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. Again, that's Instagram at Music Art Culture and Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. Want to nominate a teacher or student in the area or a budding leader in the community? Let us know their names. We want to acknowledge them as well for their contributions to culture, community, and education. Use the contact form on our website, musicartculture.org/contact. Well, this morning's edition of the blog Music Art Culture comes fresh off of the weekend, so we'll be sharing weekend headlines as well as what happened on Sunday today, because as some of you know, on social media, mainly Twitter, we have something called Music Monday. For those of you who are familiar with BET, they had the BET Experience, which was a collaboration of a lot of different artists, forward-making creative minds, mainly in music, hip-hop, and you, of course, you had R&B. What was legendary was the presence of Miss Anita Baker. Hits galore, beautiful voice. We all know her for several hits in the 80s and early 90s, and she was given an honor as Lifetime Achievement Award winner, or I believe it was a legend, as she is, because she's kicking off her farewell tour. Currently, I actually went online yesterday. I did not see any U.S. or I'm sorry, let me take that back. I saw some dates, some concert dates, but none in L.A. I didn't see any in Nevada either, but hopefully the dates that I did see in Kentucky and a few of the other states eventually clear out and she comes back to Cali, or at least the West Side. It was amazing. She did not perform herself, but Ledisi hit the stage. Yolanda Adams, Ledisi, contemporary R&B singer, also jazz, kind of have a beautiful voice. Marsha Ambrosia, one half of the initial group Flowetry, and Yolanda Adams, gospel phenom, powerhouse. They did such a wonderful job honoring her. Even Jamie Foxx, who was the host of the BET Awards, got on the piano, did a wonderful dedication. It was just beautiful. So that was yesterday. Also, the Migos performed Walk It Like I Talk It and Stir Fry, which was, by the way, one of my favorite performances of the night. Not to take anything away from J. Cole, who totally ripped the stage with his performance featuring Daniel Caesar, who is an amazing vocalist out from Canada. R&B singer, phenomenal. I love his song. I love his song, Get You. And he also has a hot song out with her that he performed at the BET Awards. Also with her. Yes, that is the name of the artist. She's a singer. It's H.E.R. Her. That is her stage name. Gorgeous voice. It was kind of like Lauryn Hill meets Jill Scott. Wonderful performance. Very classy. They even got up and did a little riffing on the electric guitar. So there was music, real musicianship all throughout the show. And it was wonderful. There were harps. Miguel performed as well. Beautiful. But back to J. Cole's performance. It was wonderful because it had a message about meditation and how to deal with and address certain issues in family structure and with mental health and addiction, and to combat that with some positive reinforcement tools. And the one that he talked about was meditation. It was very beautiful. It was very jazzy, very rich, very authentic and eclectic, but timely. And it was just breathtaking to see someone open the show with such boldness. And of course, you had others on the stage as well. Let's see. I feel like I'm missing a performer, but oh, Janelle Monáe. Very different, always original. Wonderful. I love the song that she performed. She actually performed two songs, and aesthetically, what she had on stage, her signature colors, black and white, threw in some red, you know, it was very interesting, very artistic, very brave, and I really commend her. Performance was awesome. She always does a great job on stage whenever she comes on, and it was a lot of fun. One of my least favorite was Nicki Minaj. No offense to, you know, Nicki, but I was a little disappointed. I'm not a huge fan, but I do respect her and acknowledge her contribution to hip hop. And, you know, I thought, okay, she's been in the game for a while. The little gimmick cheap shots are done. And she's just on stage. I thought she was going to rip Chun-Li. And she just really played up to the pretty. Her dancers really rocked the stage more than she did. And then the second song, I could not. I don't even know what, why, who, where, and when the meeting took place, and if they even discussed what the choreography was going to be. It just seemed like she wasn't ready. She looked beautiful. She always does. But she wasn't ready to really do that show, perform, because, you know, she really wasn't working the stage. You know, she looked gorgeous, but it really came together with Big Bank, Little Bank. Now, that had YG, 2 Chainz. You had your boy Big Sean. I love the energy of that song. It was a lot of fun. Everybody was on the stage. They had the dancers, but they still worked their thing. And it was just a lot of fun. It was amazing. A lot of great energy. Of course, they had new artists showcased as well. And Ellie Mae came out. Everybody knows her song, Boot Up. And she did a slamming job. She just absolutely got it nailed down. She's also an artist from the UK. So what was really cool is there were a lot of acknowledgments and nominations from international artists as well, throughout Nigeria, the UK, Canada, France. And we were able to acknowledge Deborah Lee, who has been with BET for 30 years. They did a wonderful tribute to her, acknowledging her contributions, acknowledging her willingness to change the face of Black entertainment, and helping advertisers and other programmers and networks to see the value in Black dollars, African dollars, within America, and really build up a brand that we have before us today that includes network TV shows, original content, being able to celebrate the Black experience and women. So that's really cool, because Black Girls Rock is also coming up as well. And side note, Blackish will be airing on BET, I believe, in September. So that's going to be a lot of fun, because as you know, Blackish is on ABC. I happen to be a fan of the show. I think it's great that they're moving over into BET, so I'm sure they're probably syndicated at this time. And I think it's a great family show to have on BET, Black Entertainment Television. The Bobby Brown story is coming in September. That looks good. And I was listening to an interview that he did with Dion from The Heat on Sirius XM Radio. And it was actually very interesting what he said when people were asking, or I'm sorry, not when people, actually, when Dion was asking him in the interview how he felt about the movie. He was very grateful to be a part of what was happening, because his wife is also the one of the executive producers of the film that's premiering on BET about the Bobby Brown story. He was grateful that he was being honored and he had the opportunity to tell his story while he was still alive. He touched on his ex-wife, Whitney, how he loved her. And, you know, even though other things have been made light about her personal life and certain situations, something is being put together to honor her for the phenomenal talent that she was while she was here. And it was really refreshing to see him even introduce the trailer of the new flick on BET during one of the breaks on the awards, because it is all about his life. And they incorporate the good, the bad, the ugly. Anybody who's a fan of Bobby Brown, he was big with New Edition. Then he came out as a solo artist. Then he was, you know, known for being Mr. Whitney Houston. but there was also a lot of turmoil, drug use, you know, infidelity issues, things like that. And I like that they incorporate those truths, but they also hit to a deeper truth, which is what he's been hinting on. So it's very interesting. I am very excited to see that when it drops. All right, so in music news, let's just actually follow us on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. We will also be looking through our social media links and see what interesting footage people have posted from the BET experience. We were able to catch it live on Twitter, and it was pretty interesting. During the pre-show, Safari was all over the place with that open shirt. What was going on? I know it was hot in LA, but I don't know, brother. Open shirt. I don't think all the dudes were feeling shaking your hand with the shades on and the Gucci shirt open and your chest out. It was just a little awkward. But his co-host did hold it down. She was very classy, loved her dress, and very well spoken as well. So either way, he was entertaining too. It was a good pre-show. Big up to them. Terrence J was out there with Cassie. Terrence J and Cassie, more so Terrence J, he's always been my favorite. Cassie, gorgeous. She did her thing totally, completely. And big up to them. It was very entertaining. So, to get over into some other news with MACEF. Learning techniques. Now, I am not a formal teacher. I want to say that out loud. But I have worked with young students, young learners, and I do see that there are some learning curves that parents and teachers have to be willing to address and acknowledge in order to really help these budding young stars not be afraid to go for the big words and the little words that they don't know. So if you have a struggling reader, I have a few tips to build reading skills year around. Now, they're not anything too major, so your reader or yourself, you shouldn't feel overwhelmed. But one thing that is important, number one, schoolwork is mandatory. So make homework fun. I think that's fundamental. Even when I'm thinking back on when I was a child, learning when you're in school, your child has to know that it is mandatory for them to do their work while they're in class. No goofing off, no being a distraction, not being combative in the classroom for various reasons. Maybe, you know, they're playing with their castmates, their playmates, their classmates, or it could be that they just don't want to focus and they're being disruptive. However, a good way to combat that on both sides, from the parent's perspective or the guardian's perspective, is you get with the teacher, you make sure that the child sees that you and the instructor are on the same page, so that way they have the knowledge that there's an expectation when they go to school, it's time to get things done, and when they come home, they don't hide the homework. You know, I can recall a couple of times when I was a kid, oh, I did my homework or I started it, but I didn't really finish it, but I wanted to catch that show or, you know, I wanted to go play and I conveniently forgot that I only did half the page, or I would conveniently remember that there's still more time after dinner to do my work, even though I actually needed to be going to bed. So reinforce the teaching strategies while showing the learner it's all about them enjoying the process. When it comes to homework, that's right. Know what the teacher is doing. Know how your kid is. That way, by the time they get home and it's time to focus on homework, you can make it a little bit more fun. Prime example, when you're at your desk, you can't eat jelly beans and do your work. But maybe they can do that at home. Eat jelly beans, have a bowl of ice cream, and work on some math. And, you know, having a loved one there to help them through that and slow down the process or speed it up just to make it more fun and enjoyable makes it feel less daunting, takes away the stress and the boredom, and they're still getting the work done. So that was our first point. Schoolwork is mandatory, so make homework fun. We're going to get over into our next point. Identify your child's strengths and challenges. Now, this is a really challenging, number two, because nowadays, well, there's always been learning deficiencies, but nowadays we're actually able to diagnose them. And sometimes I do find that either there are parents who give kickback to acknowledging if there are learning deficiencies, or sometimes there might be instructors who give kickbacks to identifying and or assisting children in how to work through these learning deficiencies. However, I look at it like this, right? I'll take my modern, unscientifically, proven mind, and I will just say this. Learning deficiencies are learning struggles, and everybody has them. Unless you are a baby genius or related to Albert Einstein, I give you a pass. Other than that, if there's ever been a math problem, a board too big, a definition that you still didn't quite understand, even though it was clearly spelled out for you, you have at some point had a learning issue that you had to work through because it wasn't comprehensive. So when it gets to comprehensive learning, we have to create a strategy. Now, what you want to remind them, your learner, is what they already know, and effectively manage what they don't. So in math, let's go with multiplication and addition. Well, 2 + 2 = 4, right? Okay, so when we get to multiplication, 2 times 2 = 4. So what we do is we bring out our charts, we use our fingers, and we show our learners how to break down these points of understanding so that they don't feel overwhelmed as they go. Because the next step is addition, multiplication, division, subtraction, right? Or addition, subtraction, multiplication, then division. But when we run these tools consecutively and fluently, our students, our learners, our kids have a better understanding of how to dissect, to use some critical thinking based on the factors that they already know to be true. So that is super important, right? Because we don't want them to be overwhelmed. Another way that you can take these tools to the next step is if they're reading, circle the words that they do know and highlight the new words. Use the children's dictionary for definitions and note cards to reinforce spelling. We want our kids to know how to read and write. It's very competitive. We know this as adults, right? So let's take the edge off of the kids. We don't need to say it's very competitive. How are they going to survive? No, let's give them that edge because we know how we adapt in the workforce, right? Okay, so let's take those adult skills, break them down to the kid level, and help these kids really break through to the other side. Remember, we'll remind them of what they do know to help them combat the fear of what they don't know. And when reading, we'll have them actively circle what they do know, the major words, meaning the nouns and the verbs, the adjectives, and then highlight the new words. This could even be spelling words. It's okay to highlight the spelling word sheet. Use the children's dictionary for definitions. I recommend the children's dictionary because they're simplified definitions. They're not as complex. And note cards are great because you use them as flashcards and it helps them with their spelling. It's taking away the large, long sheet that's in front of them. Because remember, these are not fully grown adults. These are young kids with short attention spans and social media. So what we want to do is simplify the whole process for them and use the note cards, which turn into flashcards, and they're quick, easy. You can put them in their backpack. There's something that they can have in the kitchen. You don't have to worry about spilling the dinner over the note cards because they're just note cards. They're not the homework. So great tool. We're going to move over into point number 3. Know what happens in the classroom and on the playground. Point number 3. This one is really important to me because this is where we can actually address the behavior and the child's development. If we know how they're interacting with their peers, we can have an indication of how they are interacting in the classroom and if that's having a positive or negative effect on their ability to learn and interact with new material or collaborate in group work, which is extremely important too, as we know as adults, right? You have to be a collaborative worker and an effective communicator. And if you're not, this can affect your adult professional career. And it can also have a negative impact on your learning potential as a young student. We want our students, we want our kids, we want our family to have the best opportunities possible. We want them to get nominated for programs. We want them to be included in awards and the opportunity to compete and apply on a high scale. And they have to have communication skills and be comfortable in their own skin and how to communicate with others through their differences. So it's important for guardians and parents to communicate with teachers and authority figures to identify patterns or changes in their child's behavior throughout the day to reinforce positive behavioral skills. That's important. If you can address the behavior, we can tie in ways to tighten up the learning as well. And sometimes the behavior isn't affecting the learning, but we can also push for those prime leadership skills that can really help them make some professional career moves in the future. We can never overlook the importance of communication. Point number four, incorporate a healthy nutrition schedule with snacks. This includes breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And this is important because it aids the brain. We need our brain to develop learning, especially when they're kids. We actually posted something on our social media page at MACEF Public Arts. There is the California Department of Education. They actually post offset schedules when kids are, you know, out of school and for the summer, where locations where they provide free meal service. And that's a wonderful thing because we want our kids to stay healthy and we want them to be active at their highest capacity, and their brain needs to, you know, be stimulated. And food, healthy food, is the best way to do it. So if you know a family who is in need of nutrition or financial assistance, this is a great resource. Go to the website, click the link, put in your zip code or your city, and it will give you locations throughout California, throughout the various counties, all throughout California, on how you can help a child have a nutritious meal every single day. Keep that in mind. Go to our website, go to our Twitter page, and get that information. Share that. Get on that. Point number five, communicate with the child by listening to their frustration. Allow them to vent, take a break, and revisit the material in a timely manner. Super duper important, right? I mean, how many times as adults do we feel overwhelmed with things that we know? So imagine how we feel as adults with the material that we don't know. And this is a child with not a lot of life experience who is going over work that maybe they like and maybe they don't like, right? It's like jelly beans versus green beans. Which do they prefer? But at the end of the day, homework, what did we talk about, is mandatory, and so is schoolwork. So we want to make the homework fun. We want to make sure that our learning techniques are effective. And one of the things that we can do as guardians, family, and parents, instructors, community people, is when we see a young learner, if we're helping them with the work and they express their frustration, hear them out, let them breathe, take a break, and revisit the material. Because even though it's difficult, it never goes away. And they have the potential to learn and defeat fear. And the only way that they'll do that is to clear their mind and come back refreshed. So we never want them to forget what they've already learned. They're always going to be building on what they already have learned. And we want them not to be fearful of what they don't already know. And sometimes taking a quick break, reassessing, take a deep breath, go get some water, maybe a bowl of ice cream, and coming back to the work is a great opportunity to regain focus and control over the situation to make sure that they're doing exactly what they need to do. So we never want to judge their feelings, and we want to develop critical thinking and complex thinking strategies to work through frustration, which develops long-term results. And again, for more information on summer meal service sites, visit the California Department of Education for a list of county-provided free nutritious meals during the school vacations and off-track periods. Use the website to check the links by your city, or use, meaning enter your zip code. MACEF Public Arts on Twitter. We have that link for you. Check it out. No fear. Okay, so other news in education. We had the opportunity to shadow a wonderful instructor by the name of Antonio. He is an LA County educator, and he also is an instructor for special education, our special needs students. It was an amazing opportunity to just check out the work that he was doing with these students, because it allowed us to see the dynamics in teaching. And I, for one, was moved. It was a few hours in the morning, came in on the location, and just saw how he really met the students halfway, got them to engage with the dance moves, and used some of the more popular students in the class to reel in some of the others. So he used a few effective teaching techniques that are very important. And we just wanted to honor him and give him that shout out and say that we recognize his contribution to education, and we appreciate his commitment, his continued commitment and willingness to not overlook any student, but to give it his all, give it his best, and to encourage them past their disabilities, physical or mental. And we actually shadowed him and put some vid up on our social media regarding the day I got to sit in with him. It was amazing to watch him interact with those students. And clearly he is affecting their life way beyond dance. He is amazing. So one of the things he did talk about was getting parents more involved in what their students are doing, these students, their activities and such, and how sometimes it's a struggle, but he does see that there is active participation, that his work is not falling short of interest and need. And we just want to encourage him and encourage others. So we will post more on our page regarding Antonio as well. And feel free, again, follow us. If you didn't see it, it's on IG at Music Art Culture. Check out that link. Other news, music news from last week. There was actually a devastating story that took place. Frightened Rabbit's Meltdown Festival is set to be replaced with a mental health panel. This was actually very sad news. The band Frightened Rabbit was scheduled to perform at London's upcoming Meltdown Festival before the tragic death of frontman Scott Hutchinson last month. Their time slot will now host a panel dedicated to mental health and the music industry, a shift that reflects the Scottish rock act's dedication to raising awareness for mental illness. Very sad as well, because in the U.S., where I'm located with the blog Music Art Culture, within the past month, suicide prevention has become a top priority as the recent deaths, of world-renowned chef Anthony Bourdain, who took his life in France, and fashion designer Kate Spade, who took her life in her New York home, both really, really tragic stories. They've contributed a lot to the lives of others across the globe, and they unfortunately had decided to take their own lives. This was separately, not tied to one another, but just two individuals going through their own personal struggles and battles, and both
left behind young children. So if you know someone in need, you always want to have that open conversation, because you never know who is in need. And we never want to prejudge. We just want to be aware, be observant, and to get them help. So something to keep in mind. Also, in music news, we have Nina Simone's childhood home being dedicated as a national treasure. Musician, activist, just phenomenal woman. In honor of African American Music Appreciation Month, aka Black Music Month, the childhood home of legendary artist / civil rights activist Nina Simone is being designated as a national treasure by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. The home is in North Carolina. It will be the first music site to be restored by the National Trust's African American Cultural Heritage Action Fund, an initiative with the Ford Foundation, which was launched last November, and actor-director Felicia Rashad, best known for her work as Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show, and also the sister of the wonderful Debbie Allen, is the advisor and ambassador for the Simone Restoration Campaign. So it will be a wonderful celebration. It's amazing. And just wanted to keep you all informed. Keep your eyes on the Music, Art, Culture, Education Foundation, because we have some very cool things coming up. We are preparing to do something with the community in a major way. And if you want to be involved, feel free to visit our website, musicartculture.org. Click on the participation link and get involved. You can also DM us, send us an instant message over social media using Instagram or Twitter, or feel free to use our contact page, musicartculture.org/contact, and we will be sure to connect with you as well. Thank you for listening to the blog Music, Art, Culture. I am your host, Dominique, and stay tuned, stay connected, and keep listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to send it over to your friends and share. More to come. Stay tuned.